Hello and God bless you. Please turn with me to the first chapter of the first book of Peter. I would like you to notice and read with me one verse in this small book that sets a foundational truth that must be grasped if we are to move forward into understanding God's plan for us, His children. We must be very careful to start with the foundation. The truth of God's Word is set forth for us on a tremendously firm and reliable foundation. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The past two centuries have witnessed multiple abusive belief systems that were not set upon the foundation. You always end where you begin. If you begin on the foundation in Christ, you will end firmly on the foundation in Christ. Denominations begin with a charismatic person who attracts followers. Soon there is a fervor. Human nature and pride kick into gear, and a hierarchy to enforce the new religion is born. If there is a boss, there must be others to boss around. Human competition feeds the climb up the boss, bigger boss, and head boss ladder. Their foundation is rickety because it is based upon man's opinions and pride, not Jesus Christ. The denominations all eventually crumble and fall because instead of the chief cornerstone, they are built upon the foundation of man. Once we read and work through this astounding statement in 1 Peter, we'll explore other verses that collaborate, expand, and confirm this declaration. Read with me 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In our first birth, we were born of seed. When your father's seed encountered your mother's egg, you were conceived. In the wonderful miracle of conception, you, a unique individual, unlike any other, began to form. A specifically designed combination of your mother's and father's DNA grew and developed inside the womb until you were ready to enter this harsh environment we live in. With a gush of embryonic fluid and labor, you were born. From the instant of conception, you have been you in varying levels of development. And no matter what you do or don't do, you are the product of your parents' seed. We inherit the physical traits and appearance from our parent because we sprang from their seed. My brother looks like one of our great-grandfathers that we have only seen pictures of. As I age, the more I see my father looking back at me in the mirror. Yet I have many of my mother's mannerisms, expressions, and idioms. We have inherited a mix of our ancestors' traits that are unique only to us. The human body develops to a certain point and then begins to decline in age. Let's read the next verse. Verse 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." So we see that the physical body that we were born with withers and dies because it was born of corruptible or perishable seed. The physical body is short-lived. We already had that figured out, right? However, in verse 23, we see that the second birth is the result of incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed is God's seed, which liveth and abideth forever. Please notice that the second birth is not referring to our physical birth or our physical body. We are born again. These two words, born again, are in the Greek only one word. That one Greek word means to be born, then born again by repetition. That is why when Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter that he must be born again, he asked how he could possibly enter again into his mother's womb. Jesus answered by saying, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." There are two distinct births. Keep your finger in 1 Peter, but let's go read the account of Nicodemus being surprised at the concept of being born again. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 1. I'll give you a second to get there. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Just as all people were born of their physical parents' seed, we who are God's children have been born again of God's seed. My father's name was John. I will always be the son of John, because I have his seed in me. My DNA is the result of the combination John's seed and my mother's egg. There is nothing I can do to change that. Even if I were to deny that John was my father, he still is, because his seed is in me. John has died because his physical body was the result of corruptible seed. My body will die because I have John's seed in me. For a clear understanding of what happens to our physical body when we die, please check out 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on your own. If we happen to be alive when Jesus returns, our physical body will be changed into a spiritual body. The principle of seed is well established both scientifically and biblically. We know that apple seeds do not sprout and grow watermelons. We also know that the seed of a cat cannot fertilize the egg of a crocodile and produce crococats. Seed produces only after its own kind. Human seed produces human offspring. You should notice in Hebrews 2:16 that Jesus took on the seed of Abraham, which means he took on human flesh with the characteristics of the ancestral line of Mary. He had a family resemblance to Mary and her ancestors, one of which was Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 is the verse that I'm talking about. "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." One of the wonderful prophecies in the Old Testament is that the promises of God were made to Abraham and his seed. Of course, the Old Testament Jews misunderstood this prophecy. Paul clarifies who the seed of Abraham is. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll give you a second to get there. Galatians 3, verse 16. This is an important verse, and you need to see this. Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, and to thy seed, and to your seed, which is Christ. Do you see it? It's your seed, which is Christ. The Jews of the Old Testament misunderstood and believed that they were the seed of Abraham here that was being talked about. But the seed is Christ. There was a singular seed. It's Jesus Christ. All the promises of God, all the promises of God are focused and come by way of Christ Jesus, the one and only spiritual seed. The principle of seed is true for those of us that have been born again of God's seed. Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Seed produces after its own kind." God's seed is not physical, but spiritual. If we have God's seed, Christ, in us, then we are His sons and daughters spiritually. His seed is in us. We cannot remove our Father's seed, no more than I can remove my physical father John's seed, God's seed. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We cannot remove our Father's seed. Now, let's read again 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, where we started. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Come with me, let's look at just a few of the places where the Bible declares that we are the sons and daughters of God who have been born again of incorruptible seed. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, "And will be a father unto you," talking about God, "and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. John, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Look at Galatians chapter 4. I'd like for you to see this, so I'll give you a second to get there. Galatians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 5. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons," now notice it doesn't say you're going to be sons or you might be sons. It's talking to us who are born again. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We're going to pause here in verse 6 because it reveals a profound truth that is often missed. Please notice that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit of His Son is God's seed. If you are one that marks things in your Bible, now is your time. Highlight this verse and circle the Spirit of His Son. Then write over in the margin, see Colossians 1:27. Let's read this verse again before we go to Colossians 1:27. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into, notice that word, into. It doesn't say beside or upon or around or comes and visits every once in a while, but He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery. Paul's gospel, the mystery among the Gentiles, the secret that God had saved until the time of Paul and revealed it to Paul, is the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 5:6, remember we just read it. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, because you are sons. Colossians 1:27, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are sons and daughters of God because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. God's seed, Christ in us, Spirit of His Son, Holy Spirit, all refer to the same Christ in us. It's important to understand that where you begin is where you end up. If we start with the understanding of the chief cornerstone, with Christ in us, we find ourselves in Christ and at peace with God. Striving is over. The foundation is set. The building is built, and we live in the family house as joint heirs with Christ. We are born again of spirit with a new language, a new way of thinking, a new family, a new race, a new citizenship, and a new purpose. We have a new way of living that is not tied to society's norm. We are no longer relevant to the world around us. We have been set apart, separated out for a distinct purpose. We are not part of this world. We live here, but our focus is on the purpose of our new Father. The world around us does not understand us, nor can it. Our world is veiled from the eyes of unbelievers. The family of God, the body of Christ, can only be seen by those born into it. We are the sons and daughters of God, with Christ in us, the hope of glory. Take a look with me at 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 3. I'll give you a second. 1 John, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. There are more verses, but these are enough to establish that we who have been born again of God's seed are sons and daughters of God. We are his children. He is our Father. The fatherhood of God is a distinctly New Testament concept. You will not find it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were servants of God. We are sons and daughters, born of our Father's seed. As sons and daughters, we have been made joint heirs of Christ. We fully share in all the blessings of God because they are in Christ, who is God's seed. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the second we are born again, the attack begins. The devil's intention is to convince us that our new birth was somehow defective or unimportant. If we believe the devil's lies, we live far below our potential as God's children. We need to know who we are and what we have inherited as joint heirs with Jesus. Let's look at some of the very basic blessings that we have because we are the children of God. As God's children, we are justified and righteous. Justified in the Greek means to render innocent. We are rendered innocent by believing the completed work of Christ. The result of justification is righteousness. As God's children, we are rendered innocent and made righteous. I'm going to read some verses for you. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. By him. All. What does all mean? It means all that believe. And by him all that believe are justified, rendered innocent, from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been rendered innocent by faith, and therefore have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified or rendered innocent by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, rendered innocent, and whom he rendered innocent, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, I'll read that again, knowing that a man is not rendered innocent by the works of the law, but instead by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be rendered innocent by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's a pretty strong verse. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, as God's children, we are justified and righteous. Don't let anybody tell you different. Let's look at the next one. As God's children, we are sanctified. In the Greek, sanctified means to be made holy. As God's children, we have been made holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified. You are made holy, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. As God's children, we are justified, righteous, and holy. Don't let anyone tell you different. We are sanctified, made holy. As God's children, we are redeemed. In the Greek, redeemed means ransomed. Ransomed. Paid the price to set us free. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. We have been redeemed. He paid the ransom to set us free, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has ransomed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We have been ransomed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He went once and completed it and obtained eternal. Eternal is forever redemption. We have been ransomed forever. As God's children, we are redeemed, justified, righteous, and holy. Don't let anybody tell you different. As God's children, we have the ministry of reconciliation. That word ministry in the Greek means service. It's the way we serve. Reconciliation means adjustment or restoration. we have the service of restoration. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. As God's children we are redeemed, justified, righteous, and holy. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't let anyone tell you different. Now, brothers and sisters, righteous sons and daughters of God, holy ones, let's go back to where we began. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We who are called have been born again of incorruptible seed, and are the sons and daughters of God. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have been redeemed, or ransomed, pulled from Satan's grip, and placed by God in Christ. He has placed his spiritual seed, the life-giving Spirit, Christ in us. He has made us holy. We are God's sons and daughters. If God be for us, who can be against us? You are blessed of God.